Now, like we said, you have the dream of wealth, you have a dream of prosperity, you have a dream to become great. You have a company you want to start, or I'm a preacher, let me not forget that you have a ministry that you're about to begin. And great things you expect to happen. Let me tell you what the miracle is there of seed and faith. Let me explain a principle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's something I want to explain there. I will start from verse 6. It said, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, please, my emphasis begins from here. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Please note this and put it in your heart very well. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, we supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I want to read verse 9 into 10 again. It is written, he said, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He said, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. I will explain those two things. Let's just complete verse 11. You will be enriched in everything. For what? For all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. I want you to notice a principle here, please. First, let me explain what it means by his righteousness endures forever. That act of giving to the poor, it was what he called righteousness. Are you getting my point? He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. That is, when he gave to the poor, it produced for him more ability to give to the poor, so that he could never stop giving to the poor, so his righteousness abides forever. You are getting what I'm saying. He said, therefore, this is the principle. God supplies seed to the sower and gives bread for food, but does not multiply his bread. He only multiplies his seed for sowing. Please read that again. Look at verse 10. He said, God gives seed to the sower and bread for food, and he will supply and multiply what? Your seed for sowing. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. That's what, look, linking back to verse 9, I was trying to explain. That is, the way by which he increases your seed for sowing is by increasing the harvest of your righteousness. Do you know why? I told you, there is so much that a man can eat. A lot of our gospels are gospels for people who have a poverty mentality. They are only trying to get for themselves. They are trying to eat. God said, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, if you give out 100,000 today with a faithful heart, meanwhile you were eating with 10,000 naira, your food cannot improve much. I'll keep on saying these things. You understand my point? But when I see that you are able, that your heart is that gives out 100,000, I'll give you 1,000,000. Why? So that next time you will not give out 100,000, you'll be given 900,000, 1,000,000 naira. And when I see that you have given out 1,000,000, next time I give you 10, that is, you are enriched. Go to verse 11. You are enriched in everything for what? That is, the purpose of enriching the man is for all liberality. Let me tell a few stories to emphasize this point. I've read around a bit, okay? But I have noticed one thing consistently amongst a lot of men of God, all right? When they started their own ministries, and then when they began to minister, yes, you are giving to people, you are doing things, but God demanded that they give virtually everything they had into that ministry before God began to send supplies. Let me tell the story to just explain this. Can I get into the story once? He was broke. And one pastor stopped in front of his church when he was pastoring a church. And the man, you know, stopped and entered his house and greeted him. You are around. Okay, preach for us now. He said, something in his heart, he felt that God wanted him to give the man, and I can't remember the exact figures, all right? Let us assume, because this was those days when he was a young man, maybe in his own 20s. I mean, Ken Hagin died a few years ago, he was 80-something. So I'm talking about more than 60 years ago. So then, their dollar had a different value compared to what it has today. So maybe God told him, like, give the man $20. Now, to him, $20 was breakthrough. It was a breakthrough offering. You know, get my point? And normally, when a preacher even comes, they don't give more than 10. Now, I'm not sure it's 20 he said, but I'm just trying to give you the proportion. Well, like half of that they normally will give. And even the church didn't have that money. So, he said, all the time the man was preaching, he said till today, when he was writing the book, he couldn't remember what that man preached because his soul wasn't there. He was, what am I? Personal money. It's Christmas time. I don't have anything else. Nothing. That's all the money I have. So what was going on in his heart is, pack everything together, join the church offering, and give this man, he's a liar, I rebuke you, Satan. It's Satan that will not want you to, say, this is not Satan, my friend. You know it is not. Satan will never ask you to be a blessing to somebody else. Hey! He said, when the man finished, he packed the money, changed and everything, all the money, and gave it to that man. Later, he found out the truth. The man stopped in front of his church because that was where the money he had carried him to. He was going home. He took the last bus he could with the amount of money he had, and that was where his fare would carry. So he dropped out of flatness. You get my point? Flat broke. And he too was going home to his family. And he had nothing to buy gifts for his wife, his children, nothing. And he had left it to God's hand, so he just stopped to greet this man of God. And this breakthrough happened. Anyway, that was when the man now told him. So he was very happy that, thank God, that at least I obeyed God. Now, what do you expect as reward? Suddenly, money began to come. No. He said, God told him that, don't worry, give him, I will take care of you. And shortly after that, some people came, gave him money, and then he too had enough money to take care of himself. Nothing fantastic, but of course, more money than he normally will have. But you think that's the reward? No. He said, many years later, one day they heard that somebody was seriously sick. And he called his wife. And they went. The moment they prayed, the power of God came mightily from his hands. And somebody was critically ill, became instantly healed. He said, look, as a young preacher, that's exciting. You are happy that, you know, the power of God is flowing through you. So he was feeling very happy, entered his car and began to drive back. And God said to his heart directly, that if you had not given that man that money, I could not have used you to do this. A few years before. Now, why am I using that story? He was enriched for liberality. Did you notice that? That the seed he sowed was not to improve his own personal life. It was to be able to bless somebody else. He has given to the poor. He scattered abroad. He said his righteousness endures forever. What I'm trying to say is this: God multiplies for you to be able to give again. Are you following what I'm saying? God does not do it so that I gave out one car, now I have three. No, because if you can give out one car, I will give you the ability to give out 10. If you can give out 10, I will give you the ability to give out 100. I'm not explaining something here, that this matter of seed and faith, it is not for you, because for you, God says, ask and I will give you. But when it comes to being an impact in your generation, it's as you use the little that I multiply so he can use the plenty. That's why we read that he said he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He will also supply and multiply your seed for sowing. That as you sow, he multiplies the seed for sowing. Are you following my point? Now, I've not forgotten the main thing I'm trying to say. The gates of God. You start a business. You start an enterprise, you start a ministry. How to break really into abundance, into a large place. How to receive life by working in ministry for God. When I say ministry now, I mean whatever it is you are doing in life, it's a ministry as a child of God. There's something I want you to understand. I've not forgotten this. Quickly go back to Genesis chapter 1. From verse 1, God began to create, you know. In verse 31, it said, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Next verse says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. That will be chapter 2. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. What are you reading this for? You want to know. This is where the principle of Sabbath began from. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me ask you a simple question. Why did God rest on the seventh day? He was tired. As a child, I thought he was tired. Because the concept in my mind is that when a man rests, it's because he's tired. I have been working, therefore, I shall rest. You and I know, as adults, that it is not congruent with the concept God. Are you getting my point? He doesn't get tired, doesn't wear out. So God didn't rest because he was tired. So when he said rested here, you know what it means? It means he ceased from this work because he had completed what he was supposed to do. Now, there's a concept there which I wanted to notice very carefully. And then when he began to give the children of God, of Israel commandments, he specifically instructed them to hallow the Sabbath day. Are you getting me? Now, the laws he gave under the old covenant were types of things that were going to be in the new. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is what, if you go and read Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 4, he talked about a rest for the people of God. He said there remains a rest for the people of God. And then you will understand, if you read, I think, Isaiah around 58, God talked about how people will get blessed by hallowing his rest. That is, by observing his rest. And that was a prophetic word. Some of the things I want to explain is along those lines. Now, so what was God saying here as a type for us? That he rested from his works, and he commanded that everybody should rest, having done the work that God asked him to do. Are you getting my point? He said, he that has believed has entered into his rest. You are following the concept. This is the way it works. The rest of God is after you have done what God commanded you to do. And they asked Jesus Christ, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. And I've explained that James said, faith without works is dead. He wasn't saying you must look for works to add to your faith. No, he was saying that faith always produces works if it is real. He said, by works, faith is perfected. That is, there is something a man does that shows that he has faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. And until he has done that, really, he cannot really, really rest. He cannot enter into that Sabbath rest of God. We're talking about the gates of God, right? Now, so God said, this is how I did it. One, I began to walk, and then I rested. Now, notice this. He rested after he had made the man. He created the earth, put everything in place, and you will notice one of the things he did. If you read the verse 11, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. What does it mean by vegetation? He said, plants yielding seed and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. Please follow that. That was what God meant when he said, let the earth sprout forth vegetation. This vegetation are plants that will produce what? Seed. And then there are fruit trees that bear fruit, but the fruit has seed in them. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, so that's how the vegetations came. Then he made the animals. In verse 20, verse 21, then what did he do? He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. He had released a word to fill the earth. What does that tell you? The birds had not yet filled the earth. The vegetations had not yet filled the earth. But he had created enough that had enough seeds to fill the earth. Then he made man. And then he also blessed that man also. Are you getting what I'm saying? He blessed them in verse 28. be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and all of that. Then after doing all of these things, God now rested. You know what that means? That is, I have put enough machinery in place to fulfill everything that I want fulfilled. That was why he rested from his work. That there is nothing to add to it again. I've told you, human beings, even after God kills them, the only problem on earth is how to stop their population from growing. They will teach contraception, teach this one. But have you ever heard that the whole nations of the earth, what they are expressing now, population is coming down. Calamity will come, wipe out one third of countries. It's a matter of time, they start growing again. That is so difficult to stop them from growing. Why? Because there is an empowering word God gave from the beginning, which was what? Be fruitful and multiply. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't forget, the gate into prosperity is what we are talking about. The gate into abundance, the gate into wealth. We are explaining that there is a grace that you will put in from the beginning that it becomes impossible to stop that business from growing. You are following my point. Let's just go on. Now, from what I have said here, what that principle is this. God said they have seed in them. When a man is going to start something, he puts something there on ground which will produce seed in his fruit. Now, I'll try and put these things together. But God said, what is the sign of his faith? That's what I'm talking about, the miracle of seed faith. The sign of his faith. Because for God, anyone who has believed has entered into rest. He said, any man who has believed has ceased from his own works just as God ceased from his. What does it mean to say just as God ceased from his? That is the same reason why God ceased is the same reason why he too will cease. The same power that will keep the things that God created going is that same power that will keep the one that God is creating through him growing. That is, there is a word. Don't forget, the gate is a matter of prayer. At the beginning, it starts with a blessing. God said, I bless them. In the same manner, this man starts this venture and he blesses it with the blessing of God. And God said, before you do that, what is the thing you do first? He said, you put a seed. Now, are you getting the miracle of seed faith here? It is not that I want something so as to get back. You are not getting what I'm saying. That I want to create something. And the first thing I do when I want to create is to plant a seed before I can rest from my own works. And if God blesses that seed, let me tell you where was I preaching recently? I think it was in church. I said, listen, the only reason that a nation will be blessed is because you and I planted seed inside it. That's the miracle of seed faith. It's not like we want something. You know, recently my wife and I were discussing something. Some people needed money to complete the project some time ago, a business kind of venture. And they approached her. And she gave them money. And things didn't work out well. So they now came back and said, please, can we have some more money? She said, what is it? She was telling me, she was not so sure that I said, baby, give them money. I said, do you know why? I said, God always requires a reason to preserve something. You are the salt of the earth. If that thing has a chance of succeeding, it's your cash. It is small compared to the whole lot. I said, it's called seed faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you put in that thing as a sign of your faith. And God said, that one has grace upon it. It will bring forth fruit that will have seed in itself, that you can rest from your own works if there's a blessing upon that seed. And if you don't put seed in it, you don't have faith in it. That is why you can't say Nigeria is bad, Nigeria is bad. You take a visa and run to Malawi. And then from there, start praying for us. No. You cannot say, this stock market. No. Useless stock market. They will not join hands. Say, God, revive the economy of this country. Your prayer is empty. First take, he said, God, I have faith in this nation. All I have is this 25,000 naira. I am going now and buying shares in 4 different companies so that if they collapse, my money too has gone. That is seed faith. That is, if you say you have faith in it, then you put a seed in it. And God, see, I told that faith by works is perfected. Are you getting my point? All the dreams you have that has not demanded that you pour things into it will never go anywhere. Are you following my point? That is why you have to sometimes sell all that you have. Unfortunately, Christians think that that is only giving it to the work of the ministry. No, sometimes you sell all you have and invest it in your business and say, God, I rest from my works. That is my seed. I have planted it. Because if you do that, then you discover, with a prayer, then you discover a force. That is what is called grace. That business begins to grow. That is why you see all the stories you have to tell in life. Those guys did drastic things. Bill Gates walked out of school. Michael Dell walked out of school. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if we collapse, our whole life is dead. The miracle I'm talking about in seed faith, you know, I have read all kinds of things. I told you before, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. Then when Jesus said he doesn't even know how. A lot of ministers have told stories, and they don't. When I read their stories, I said, this is the key. You think this is the key. Look at the key on this side. Robert Schuller will tell you that when they wanted to start, the first donor to everything they are doing was him. And what was the thing he donated all the money he had? It may have been $200. Out of $10 million, but that was all the money he had. It's called the widow's mite. You are following what I'm trying to say here. That is, let me give you an example. First time, now, just listen to this. I was telling you the other day that as at, maybe by the end of this month, we'll have paid Cosmo FM about ₦1 million in this short a few days that we have been on air. Now, rent we have paid in this building, put it together, it's quite a substantial amount of money. That's for this. Kingdom has not spent much money yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Compared to some people, all right? But it keeps increasing. It keeps increasing every day. We keep on doing more things. We are reaching more places. Things are beginning to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the first time this place, I was told, come and look at this place. Do you like it? You want to rent it? Literally, all the cash I had, personally, I paid it as rent and taught maximum of 5 or 6 people every Saturday for a year. And you know my policy about money. You know my policy about, I always say, this thing has to succeed, all of you. I say, hey, wait. Who and you discussed and said, we should start Kingdom World Ministries? Just you and your wife. So why are you worrying everybody else? I'm not saying that people will not contribute anything. I'm just saying that it is not, that's the way I look at it. It is not their burden. It is my burden before God. So I pray to God and he moves on the heart of men to do something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that's my policy. It is not as if some people think that it's Pastor Bank doesn't like offerings. That's not true. I have never said that. I have just said that Moses said, as many as their heart moves them. I've seen people who organize programs, and then they come out. This program has cost us so much to organize, so all of us have to. I say, come. In my mind, come. When you left your town to come to organize, did you discuss with me? Why are you making it look like it's my fault that things are not working? You understand the concept? You know, it's one problem with preachers. You know, we grew up thinking like, my ministry is everybody's responsibility. Really, it is not. But God does, you know, like David would say, Psalm 103, I look to the hand of God, I expect my blessings from his hand, and then God moves upon the heart of men and moves money through them. Just use as an example. If, for example, we are here, so let me use Kingdom as an example. Let's say God has called somebody to be a financier of this ministry, as an example. I'm a preacher, all right? If you want, now people think that give and you will get plenty. No. God says, this is the way it works. As for blessing you, that one is settled. You will eat well, you will have good food. Occasionally, I will throw pecks in your direction, you know, things, stuff like that. But if you say, this I commit to, seeing that this thing grows, because this is how we are going to do it. One day, you will take out of the little you have and give towards the work. Then it's what? The miracle of seed faith. It starts, meaning that it's not as if I now give you plenty, you'll not be abundant. No. Since you say this is what you want to do, are you getting my point? The next time I give you the ability to do some more. That is why you hear this story is a fact. A friend of mine was telling me about one particular church in Lagos. He said he can point to these persons who in this church grew up to be multi-millionaires. This is a principle. The guys looked at and said, we have been called to support this thing. So while they were yet poor, they began. Are you following my point? Therefore, God increased them so that they can abound to liberality. But when people want to repeat the story, they say, if you want quick breakthrough, support. No, it's not like that. You are following what I'm trying to say? Now, let me just get back to the main thing I'm saying. So for me personally, God is saying that if you don't believe in it, who will believe in it? You have a dream. You that's dreaming the dream. You have not sacrificed anything for the dream. Listen to me. To sell your car to finance your business is a seed faith. Look, God allows to do that at the beginning. And likely, that is the only time you will have to sell your car. Let me shock you. One day, you will sell a whole expanse of estate that God has given you to move it up to another level. Are you getting my point? That is, you are being powered by a particular dream. Oh, this company must employ 600,000 people within West Africa alone. Then one day opportunities will come that will appear as if you miss this, that is like if this goes wrong, you are dead. And God said, God will allow you to see if you get it, you will employ 700,000. Since that is your dream, you will risk dying so that you can achieve the employment of 700,000 people. That is what he meant when he said, a seed, while it abides alone, while it lives, abides alone. But when he dies, what does it mean when he dies? What Jesus was saying is this. He that loves his life is the one that will lose it. But the one willing to kill that life so as to achieve the vision of God is the one that will discover that the company will not die. Listen, if because of security you refuse to take that risk, you know what I mean by risk, in quotes, watch it, after that day, the company begins to go down. I quoted Helen Keller for us some time ago. He says, security is an illusion. There is nothing like this in this life. He said, those who are trying to be secure and therefore are running away from danger, he said, on the long run, they are not even safer than those who just brazenly face the danger. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote. But I quoted it for us here some time ago. You are getting what I mean by the miracle of seed faith. Are you getting what I mean by my own concept of it? That is, God, when you give towards something, be it a work of the ministry, be it a vision in your life, come on, there are times you believe that God said I should start a school or my school will grow to be this big. Along the line, God will say, the only way this thing will move forward is, this is your two cars. You go sell them all. You go manage this tiny one. Go and read all the great men you have read about. They did that. A point came. I mean, let me give you an example. Oh, very good example. Oh, God, thanks for reminding me of this. My favorite example again. Mary Kay said, after retiring, and she was going to start the company, she started with all the savings she had in the world. Not a dime left. That is, that companies go bomb, she goes back to working as a middle-aged woman. You see the seed? Are you seeing the seed I'm talking about? Her son left a job that was paying three times more than her mother was willing to pay him because she believes that nothing my mother does ever goes down. The other son said, please, because of the location of my family and everything, I cannot move to join a company that had not started. Then the guy took out his checkbook and filled out, I think, $5,000. And the woman realized that was all the money this boy had saved all his life, gave to the mother. He said, Mommy, I have never seen you do anything that failed. Look, when the woman died and Richard, her son, became the the president of the company. He wasn't sit on my right hand and let just sit. She had to drink the cup like her mother drank. You are getting my point? He won't now come and queue up and say, I see my degrees, BSc accounting, on top of that BSc business management, then MBA, PhD management, experiences here. You tell all the stories. I'm a chartered accountant. I am a hired accountant. I am a commissioned accountant. When you will have finished, the question will be, are you able to drink the cup that I drank? That is, see Richard, that I have made the president, who does not have a fraction of your qualifications? What qualified him to sit at my right hand? I will tell you. He left a job that a young man would have loved for one that, you have to understand, pay was not even guaranteed. That is, for him, there was a miracle that came out of his seed, that was a sign of his faith that mommy doesn't fail. If one day, I don't know whether it really happened like this, but let's assume one day when that woman wrote a check for $50 million and gave that to that her other son, nobody can open mouth and talk. Because one day, if you understand the way life is in those countries, you know a man cannot just carry his savings and throw it away like that. You are getting my point. That is, she was enriched for all liberality. Remember her story I told this the other time? Of how she promised in her church she would double whatever it is that they raise for a building project. People that used to raise $1,000 on good days before raised $106,000. And according to her own rule, you have to pay immediately, no pledges. So when she said she would double it, she also had to pay immediately. They tried to release her from her pledge. And she said, no, I have made the pledge. At that point, she didn't have the cash. She had to go and borrow from the bank. So she said, I will go and borrow from the bank and pay them back. She was wealthy. She could pay back. Shortly, while she was still thinking of that same chair, the phone rang again. God multiplied her seed for sowing and increased the harvest of her righteousness. Her son said, that, again, the same principle here, working a second time, at the same time, parallel to this, he said, that investment you made some time ago has started yielding, and your profit in the first month is over $100,000. She titled that chapter, You Can't Outgive God. I want us to get this principle. What do I mean by seed? God said, when I rested, it wasn't because I was tired. It's because I had done the things necessary. That is mentally, in your souls, in your spirits as children of God, once you have done this, you too should rest. Say, God, I have given everything I have towards this vision. If it fails, it's you. Then after that, remember we talked about the power of patience. You start doing as occasion serves you. Maybe I'll come back to that matter of patience again next time. Because things will begin to happen. You know you have sown your seed. God said, I have rested from my works. That is, I have put enough force on the ground to populate the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Talk, like they say, is cheap. But talk is not exactly cheap. You know what I mean? If you are prophesying, it's expensive. All right? But I'm talking about people just talk. You know, a friend of mine said something once. He had a car, which the Lord organized for him in a very good fashion. People, you know, gather together, you know, purchase the car and give to him. He's a minister. Then one day, they had needs in church and all that. So he sold the car and use the money to meet the need, immediate need. And one of the guys in the church heard and said, no, how can pastor do this? That is not allowed. This is how can pastor be tracking? So they said, okay. It's not a car. We sold one. She will come buy another one. So they now formed the committee and put the noise-making man as the head of the committee. See, he was so vociferous about the whole thing. So when he said, okay, now, first meeting, man said, he has some financial problems right now, so maybe what he can really raise, all he can really raise is this 5,000. After that, they closed the committee, that there's no point. You're the one making noise. The young man, the pastor just ordered the committee closed. It's not talk. I'm using that one to let you know that talk is very easy to shout. Oh, this is such a great work. It should go on. Or this vision I have in my heart. But the moment they offer you a better job than the one you have, which will give you no time for the vision, you take it to. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are not willing to sacrifice anything for it. That is why miracles will not happen on it. Look, I have taken a lot of your time. I took much more time than I thought I would take extra. All right, the Lord is good. If you have learned something today, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you very much. God bless you. Let us pray.